Now, if you will please join with me in reading the Holy Scriptures in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 1, then followed by verses 8 through 16. Please join along with following within your own Bibles or with the red books in the pews. I do not know the page numbers. I apologize for that. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself barren, was enabled to become a father, because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he is as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sands on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
All right, thank you very much. Sally would be so proud of you. You have done just a wonderful job this morning. It really blessed me. And thank you, Ron, for stepping in. Why, we got more talent in this church than we realize. So I appreciate all the music. And that's the first time I've heard Lori's voice so clear as she led us in the praise and worship. Aren't you glad you're here this morning? Amen. Amen. I'm glad I'm here. Well, we're all on a journey, are we not? We're all on a move, going someplace. And life is a journey. We're all pilgrims. I had a funeral this week of Joyce Roberts, and getting ready for that funeral, I had to meet with the family at the hospice. And there was a woman there that I hadn't seen for 30 years. So I went in and spoke to the family and went over and spoke to her. And she said, "My God," she said, "you have really changed." That just about made my day. The funeral was enough. But we're on a journey, are we not? We're on a journey from birth to death, all of us, a journey through time. You're here, this church is on a journey. We are on the movement for God. We are a pilgrim church. We're going from one place to another place. And I think about Phil Brown, when we first asked him, would he lead the worship service? He said, "Oh, I am not qualified." And you aren't. And neither am I, Phil. The good news is that God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the calling. And once he calls us, no matter how imperfect we are or how unworthy we feel, we're making that journey. We're beginning to move from one place to another place. In that sense, we are pilgrims on the move, all of us, without exception. Everything, ladies and gentlemen, is on a journey. Everything. No exceptions. Do you know that the earth itself is turning at 1,000 miles an hour, and that it's just turning on 1,000 miles an hour, and it's making its journey around the sun. And in that 1,000 miles an hour, it takes 24 hours to have one of our days. And then our little planet that we're on this morning is on the move. It's moving around the sun at the speed of 66,000 miles an hour. And it will take it 365 days to get around the sun, along with other planets. And we're part of a huge galaxy that we, the Milky Way, for example, we're part of that. And some of it sounds like it's just going around in circles and spinning wheels and going nowhere. But the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, from the moment of creation, whether God used the Big Bang to make it start or simply spoke it into existence, from that moment, all the cosmos is moving out into space at 43,000 miles per hour. And where is the cosmos going? It is on a journey. It's a pilgrim cosmos. God called it into existence. It has a purpose and a meaning. And you and I, my friends, when Jesus Christ said, "Follow me," and we responded to that, we began a journey on this planet Earth. And even Jesus Christ himself, he was a pilgrim, was he not? He came from the heart of God. He made that journey here on earth. He walked upon earth. His teachings, his life, his death, his resurrection, sent it back to the Father. He was a pilgrim. And he calls us to be pilgrims on earth in this great journey that we're on. Now, Paul, in the scripture that was read for us this morning, he talks about what it means to be a pilgrim. And the first thing he says, and the first scripture that Phil read this morning, and I love the King James Version much better, and I should have told you that I wanted a King James. It's all right, though, Phil. But that first verse, before Paul talks about all the great heroes of our faith, that first verse says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I want you to pay close attention to that verse. It is key to being a pilgrim. Faith is the substance. And what is the substance of our faith? The substance of our faith, as you know, is Jesus Christ. Who he was and what he taught. His life, his death, and his resurrection. He is the substance of our faith. And by faith in him, we're on this journey. And I don't know where it's going to take you. I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. And you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. But we're on that kind of journey, on our way. And as pilgrims in this faith, we have faith in who Jesus was and is. We have faith in what he taught. We had faith in the cross, in the resurrection, and where he is now at the right hand of the Father. That is the substance of we who travel. The mindset of a pilgrim is one of faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, when he was 12 years old, remember the story, how he stayed back in Jerusalem. He was there for the first Passover of his life. And the families dispersed after that week was over, went back towards Nazareth, where he was from. And when the parents got out, they discovered one day after they were on their way back to Nazareth that the Lord was not with them. Their son was not with them. They had to go one day's journey back to Jerusalem trying to find out where Jesus was. They found him in a temple, and you remember this story clearly. There among the priests and the lawyers, he was engaged in the conversation there. And the Bible says those learned men were astonished at the questions he was asking in his part of that conversation that day. And the parents come in and say to him, "How could you do this to us? Did you ever lose one of your kids in a store? How could you do this to us?" And he simply said, "Don't you know that I must be about my Father's business?" His journey on life, in this life, was the Father's business. And how about me and how about you? What is the Father's business for me in this life and for you in this life? And then a pilgrim has a sense of a person who is called, a sense of the Father's business in this life. And then they have a mindset of courage and determination. I heard a story one time told about a plumber who came to a house. A hot water tank was not working, and So this plumber comes in and he goes down and looks at it, and the owner was watching him, and he took out a little tool and he tapped on the side of it, and all of a sudden everything started working again. And when he left, he said, "That will be $150, please." And the man said, "Well, look, how can that be? You only tapped on the side of the water tank." He said, "I'm not charging you for tapping on the water tank. I'm charging you for knowing where to tap." Now, in our life sometimes, in this calling from God, we think we've got to be a lawyer or a president of the country or some great status person. But do you realize that where you are in your life right now, you can provide that tap that's important to the kingdom of God? And I love this idea that you don't have to be something great, but it's the little things, when the little acts of love that we do as a pilgrim, that we encourage other people and inspire other people in our lives. But it requires courage, does it not, to be a pilgrim on this earth for God? It really does. There are no wussies in this march, I can tell you. There are no chicken hearts if you're really following the Lord, because you're going, as a pilgrim on this earth, you're going to need that courage, and that comes directly from the Lord Himself as we walk hand in hand with Him in this life. And the pilgrims are always on the move, always going somewhere. Paul said, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child. But when I grew up to be a man, I spoke and thought like a man." And you see, it's not a matter of changing countries for us so much as it is as letting God lead us from one stage of growth to another stage of growth. Giving up our childishness and moving into spiritual maturity so that we can walk this pilgrim way in this life with more strength and more maturity. And then I think the other thing is that pilgrims have this awareness that they don't know everything yet. They do not know exactly what's going to happen tomorrow. They don't know what's around the next bend. But they have this sense that they don't have to know all the details. I think when Abraham was called, the scripture says that God called him, said, "I'm going to make a great nation out of you, a great promise from you. Even the Messiah will come. Your seed will be as the sands of the sea." And Abraham obeyed, but he didn't know what was down around the next curve, around the next bend. But that's the way it is with the pilgrim. We don't know. Paul said, "I'm going up to Jerusalem, and I don't know what's going to happen up there." He'd already spent three great missionary journeys, and now God was leading him to Jerusalem, where he would be arrested and taken to Rome. So he says, "I don't know what awaits me in Jerusalem, but I'm going to go anyway." And we don't know what our tomorrows are going to be, but we're going to take the hand of the Lord and let Him lead us into our tomorrows. He'll be there. Mary Gardner Bernard said, "So I go on not knowing. I would not if I might. I'd rather walk in the dark with God than to walk alone in light. I would rather walk with Him in faith than walk alone by sight." We don't know. We simply walk by faith. Then a pilgrim always has a sense of something beyond this life. Something beyond this life. Paul said in the scripture that Phil read to us today that yes, they were looking for the fulfillment of their earthly promise. But he said a lot of them died in the faith. They didn't realize the promise in this life. But they had a sense that there was a city not made by human hands. A city beyond this life. And they were moving in that direction. The 23rd Psalm is really a psalm about being led on a journey. "The Lord is my shepherd," it says. And what does a shepherd do? A shepherd leads us. The shepherd nurtures us and watches over us. And it goes on to say, "He leads me beside the still waters." Notice this, being led on the journey. "He restores my soul," and we do need to be restored in this journey, at little pockets of our presence with God in which He transfers His strength into our lives. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. He leads us in the path we ought to go. That's what a shepherd does. Then it goes on to say, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, even though I'm led down into the valley of the shadow of death. When I walked into that room at hospice where Joyce Roberts was and prayed with her, I said to her, Joyce, are you ready to make that journey down into that dark valley? And she couldn't talk, but she shook her head, yes, I'm ready to do that. The shepherd was with her as she descended into that darkness, for she knew that she was not alone, that the presence, that the good shepherd would be with her there. And when she died, one day after that, her daughter tells me that there in that very room, at 4:30 in the morning, her mother awakened, and she was in pain. She was semi-conscious. But she says, my mother was praying, and she was saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Here in this journey of life, even in the dark valleys, in those moments, her last moments, she was reaching out to the shepherd who was with her in that valley. And when her husband arrived a few moments later, he was trying to turn her over in that bed. And as he was turning her over, she was in his arms. And she died while she was in the arms of her husband. And in the funeral, I said, she died in her husband's arms, but fell into the everlasting arms of the Heavenly Father. Ladies and gentlemen, the shepherd is with us in those kinds of time. My cup runs over, the psalm goes on to say. Aren't you happy for those moments when things seem to be right and in place and going in the right direction, and the joys coming into your life, and all of those things, a sense that your cup is running over. And then you look back and you say, the writer says here, then goodness and mercy as I look back has followed me all the days of my life. And then he goes on to say, but I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's that sense of a life beyond this life that gives us strength at every step of this journey. Someone said, when you get to where you're going, where will you be? A Christian pilgrim knows where he will be at the end of this journey that we all are on. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these moments here in this place. Moments when we sing together, when we share our concerns and share our faith, and share this journey together. We are not alone as we move in this great pilgrimage of our lives. We thank you for your presence and the promise of this day and all of our tomorrows. In the name of your Son, amen and amen.